And here we are. The last and final straw is being drawn as we speak.
We're out of breath.
JYG and Afterburner Al, and it is Sunday. Jeff Gazzetti from the NTSB is with us to do a kind of a wrap-up for the end of the week here. You know, they've been kind enough to send a representative over every day.
Thank you so much for doing that.
You're welcome. It's been our pleasure.
I think that the public finds what the board does and all the investigators and all the staff that fall under the NTSB very fascinating and also mysterious. But at the same time, there's kind of this reverential perception of the NTSB. Do you feel that?
I do feel that from the crowd. It's kind of funny being with the NTSB now for 17 years. When you're inside of the organization, it just doesn't seem like we're doing anything magical. We're just doing the procedural things that we do. But to the public, they are amazed of what we can do. And I think the material simply sells itself. The NTSB gets involved in every aspect of aviation, air traffic, runway safety, weather, human factors, and people really find that interesting.
And we may have discussed this before during the week, because I wasn't here for all the other sit-ins with the NTSB, but it's been a year since that bridge collapse in the Twin Cities, yes. And a lot of people didn't really realize the NTSB, it's almost like responding to an air accident. It's the same kind of thing.
Absolutely. We've got GO teams that not only respond to aviation accidents, but we respond to major highway accidents. We respond to marine accidents. The Costco Busan, for example, was a large vessel that struck the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco last year. We launched a team for that. We do pipeline accidents, many different modes of accidents that we launch on. But, of course, we only have a small cadre that do aviation accidents.
As this week relates to other years that you've been with us, how does it compare?
I tell you, this is I've been going to Oshkosh now for the last, it's coming up on 20 years, and this year I just feel was the best out of all of them, and here's why. Everything conspired to come together. The weather has been absolutely incredible. You could not ask for better weather each and every day. No rain, no humidity. Secondly, you got the Raptor here, which I think is just an incredible airplane. Thirdly, I think I've been hearing, and I don't know whether you guys have confirmed this, but we've had more individual numbers of airplanes here than in the last 15 years. And I thought it was going to be a bad year for that because of fuel prices. But since last year, everybody had to sign up, we've had more aircraft here than
I would agree with you, because standing out on the porch, we kind of do have a show in the evening time where we just kind of watch airplanes and comment about it. And it seemed like there was just one different airplane after another, rather than seeing a bunch of Cessnas and then a bunch of Moonies and a whole bunch of different kinds of aircraft. You're gonna find the RVs. There's lots of them, and of course the production airplanes. But you are correct. I think the diversity that's out here is incredible.
Absolutely, the light sport aircraft industry is taking off. The sport pilot thing. The innovation of new technology, the wanting to see the old vintage airplanes, it's just been one hell of a show.
From the NTSB's perspective, are you starting to collect data on light sport aircraft? Because whether people like it or not, you're going to have inexperienced pilots in light sport aircraft more than you're going to have in the ones in the higher categories.
That's correct, and it is an emphasis item. You know, 4 years ago here, it might have been 4 years ago today at Oshkosh, the special light sport aircraft rule was announced. Since then, we've had the NTSB is most concerned about special light sport aircraft because these are factory-built aircraft kind of held out to the public as being completed. They're not experimental. They're not kits. They're, hey, this factory-built. Flight schools are buying them up. They're giving instrument instruction in them. So we want to make sure that these non-FAA certified airplanes are safe. There's been 45 special light sport aircraft accidents since the rule was issued, which isn't that bad, but we are looking at that internally and monitoring it very closely. And of course, that's closely tied with the sport pilot rating.
Right.
And we're seeing some interesting trends. but it's still too preliminarily.
Even the insurance industry doesn't have a good handle on how to insure or underwrite these particular aircraft, and which is making it's kind of frustrating for everybody in trying to get this particular aspect of the industry launched.
Yes, it is. Which it's kind of a wait and see. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of companies out there that are coming up with some beautiful, innovative designs. The whole goal behind the special light sport aircraft, as you know, was to spur increased interest in general aviation, increase the new pilot startups, and it appears that that is working.
Yeah, I think the airplanes in the category are actually safe enough. They're built to the ASTM standards, and I think they're fairly simple to fly. So the question would be, those trends, would they be pilot-related, or would they be aircraft and maintenance-related? Because of such a different rule when it comes to maintenance on
right.
those airplanes.
Yeah, we're seeing some of the things we're initially concerned with about special light sport aircraft is, you know, they really don't have a robust way to issue what they would call an airworthiness directive. They call them safety directives, and the company is kind of responsible for hunting down all of the owners to issue something that's a safety issue. The fact that the FAA is kind of completely out of the process there concerns us a bit, and we're having talks with ASTM and EAA to learn about that, and they're very receptive to recommendations.
Well, everybody wants it to be successful, including the manufacturers and
that's right.
people who are interested in.
We're kind of reviewing the week here at AirVenture, and there were a couple incidents. We don't necessarily have to discuss them in detail, but certainly they were somewhat of the typical ones. Stall spin, kind of just close to the on landing, and so on. It's like
yeah.
That.
Well, you know, another good reason it was a good year is, I mean, no accidents is the goal, but we only had two here, and only one fatal accident. Last year was kind of a bad year, and the years before that, but we had two accidents here at Oshkosh. One was a minor injury, Piper Tri-Pacer. That witnesses described as your classic takeoff and departure stall close to the runway. And the 2 days later, we unfortunately had a fatal accident, a Lance Air Legacy that crashed just short of the runway out here, runway 27. And we've had several witnesses indicate that that was indicative of an approach to landing stall. Investigators on both of them, and we'll have those probable causes issued long before next year's Oshkosh.
All things that if you were to make a preliminary observation, at least from an instructor's perspective like myself, would be something that we talk about all the time in the airplane. You know, just simple techniques. Don't try not to cross control as you're turning final, and the same on takeoff. Let's not be exuberant, just nice and easy. The crush of the event and you're following these weird procedures of only leveling off at 500 feet and you know, having someone next to you on the runway and all that. Read the NOTAM and get some instruction before you fly in.
Absolutely.
It just seems to ring true every time.
Well, and as you know, Al, in fact, we talked about this with Jay, or the top 10 list a couple of days ago. The NTSB and general aviation sees probably the most prevalent cause of accidents are the pilot's failure to have adequate airspeed, depending on whether it be a approach or takeoff regime, but you've got to maintain your airspeed to keep the airplane flying. Even when you have an engine failure, it's better to crash in a controlled manner than it is to depart controlled flight, have your aircraft tumble in a way in which the crash worthiness and the impact forces will kill you. So.
Well, you still have the entire world listening to you. It's a few more things you'd like to impart about the NTSB's mission and any other things you'd like to say to the pilots and crews out there that
Certainly.
Are listening.
The NTSB is a small organization, but we are all avid pilots and flyers. We want to keep the aviation safe. And any questions you might have about any accident reports or probable causes, we've got a great website, www.ntsb.gov. You can pull up the probable causes of any accident you might be interested in. We have a great query page to do that. And I would just suggest that you follow the FAA guidance on good pre-flight inspection and pre-flight planning, and just be smart. Most GA accidents are caused by dumb things. And so just respect aviation, be smart about it, and that will increase your odds of a safe and fun aviation career.
You're listening to EAA Radio.